We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now, here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
You guys, right now, something really cool is going to happen on this episode.
Aww.
Jamie is sharing with us a bad email.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about the bad email.
It's not good. So I'm going to set the tone, okay? Provide everyone a visual picture of what led up to this date. This is probably like, I don't know. I'm within my first year of business, maybe my sixth, seventh, eighth client. I don't know. Still in the learning phases. Found out I was pregnant with my son partway through their wedding. Mm-hmm. And basically, partly through their wedding planning. And basically was like, hey, I anticipate delivering before your date. Hope to be there. Hope to make everything work. Should it not, here are plans A, B, and C. Listed everything out for them. Here's the person you'll be working with. Here's how we'll handle this. I'll attend all of your meetings and pass it off. So we had a very clear picture of what was going to go on, what was going to go down. Well, turns out I went all the way to my due date. I literally delivered Silas on his due date.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. which is weird because it's not like that's something I had control over. But it ended up being 3 weeks before their wedding. And if y'all have never had a baby, like doing anything within the first 4 weeks, not fun. Getting up out of bed, walking, moving, not so much fun. So I knew that based on the relationship I had with this couple that they would be bummed that I wouldn't be able to make it. But I also knew that there was literally nothing I could do. Find my mom, who has been with me from the very beginning, to be their day of coordinator, to lead their event. And she had two assistants with her. I'll be honest, they were both interns and brand new and had no idea what they were doing. However, they weren't bad. So that kind of sets the tone of what happened. I talked to my mom after the event. She's like, I mean, a couple of things. That's what we always do after events is we say what went well and what could have gone better. And most of the time, it's not us. Most of the time, it's what did we miss? What did we not observe? What can we learn for next time? But most of the time, it's not like we poured hot wax on the mother of the groom. You know, it's not that.
Oh my goodness, I hope not. That'd be quite a situation for waxing.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably everyone listening right now is like, wow, thanks for the word picture, Jane. But we do this reflection after every event. And so I'm like, cool, boom, great. I mean, I was emailing from my bed with my newborn baby in my lap, being like, getting everything squared away. And afterwards, talked to my mom. She thought everything went well. A couple of hiccups, but nothing that was serious. And then I get this email.
Oh, the email.
Paragraphs upon paragraphs. There are 10 different talking points listed out, numbered, bulleted, of all the things that went wrong that they blamed us for.
Okay.
And I was like, I just had a baby. I cried. I cried. I was like, what am I supposed to do? This is awful. Of course, that was my like knee-jerk reaction. And then I started reading it and I was like, wait. What?
Okay. Yeah. This is going to be interesting. I am very curious about what this person wrote.
Yeah. I should probably just read some of it.
Yeah, let's just read it, I guess, bullet point by bullet point.
Yeah.
And then we can unpack it. And, you know, like, did something really go wrong? Was an expectation not set?
Yeah.
You know, did this person just have some sort of hallucination that caused them to imagine things? Who knows? Well, let's see. Let's unpack it.
And one more thing I'll add is, like, we were very new and our prices were very low.
Okay.
And we were very clear about that. I was consistently clear, like, what I lack in experience, I make up for enthusiasm and affordability. That was one of my lines I used all the time. Like, I promise that I will be honest and truthful and upfront with what we have done and with what we haven't done. You are getting a screaming deal financially because I'm new.
Yeah.
But I'm also confident and I'm really good at what we're doing.
Yeah.
I probably kind of phased out of using that language by the time this person came along. But that was our honest approach, especially in the beginning, which also meant we didn't have a large staff. We kept things lean and we did that intentionally so we could be more affordable for people.
Right. And I'm just going to say, like, for listeners, these might be points that you can really learn from. I haven't heard this, by the way. So, I mean, this is going to be like first time I'm seeing this, hearing this. So I'm guessing we're going to all learn from this, but okay, let's go, Jamie. Point one. What did they say?
Someone was not consistently with the bride. We were under the impression that a JW associate would be in the bridal party dressing room most of the day to help and answer questions, also to steer folks away from the room as groomsmen would walk by after alerting the bridesmaids. The bride felt that there was not enough time spent by a JW rep with her throughout the day and felt she never had attention or assistance when she needed it. She said she was only checked on 2 times during the entire day.
Okay.
They wanted a bodyguard.
They wanted a bodyguard or like a personal assistant, which is definitely not really what you're doing as a wedding coordinator. You are generally not around the couple that much because you are completely in the space, getting everything ready, working with the vendors, you know, doing your job. Unless they had hired a team with many people deep on the roster and had paid a premium to have someone just be there to be your personal assistant. Yeah, that definitely is a misunderstood expectation.
Yeah. And so what I learned from this personally was I didn't clearly communicate that well enough. Although, however, this one completely caught me off guard because I was like, we never promised anything like that. We're not even remotely close. Now, I could probably guarantee she was checked in more than 2 times. Like, that's perfectly fine. But we never promised to have someone stand outside the room to make sure no one went in. We did say we'd look in. I know that was a concern of hers, but also I could use my professional judgment to go, she's not that close to any of the guest spaces, any of the bridal party spaces. It's just her and her girls. So that was a moment for me where I was like, we now need to be very clear that we only check in because we're running your event.
Right.
That was the big takeaway for me on that one.
Yeah. I think it's definitely something that maybe the client had in their head that they had seen some version of a wedding planner in a movie that's like right there assisting you as you're getting your makeup done. And it's like, if you have that sort of level of service, you paid a lot of money for it because there's also a different room somewhere else where your wedding planning team is also doing the wedding planning part, not the coddling you as the client. So yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely an error of understanding there. I don't say you messed up on that one. I'd say your team did everything fine. It was just a miscommunication.
Thank you. Thank you. If you could like validate all of these as we go, that would also be really great.
It's going to be awkward if one of these is like, yeah, you really biffed it there, Jamie. Sorry, but hey.
I would own that. I mean, we're talking like 4 or 5 years ago. Like, I've learned so much since then. And, you know, the Jamie 4 or 5 years ago had no idea what we learned from this. And that's why we're sharing it today.
For sure.
Because hopefully you'll learn from my mistakes and you won't have to experience them yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for point number 2?
I am. I'm so ready.
Buckle up, buttercup. Responsiveness to groom. Although I had most of the morning and afternoon with my friends and did not need attention, at 2 p.m. when we finally went into the dressing room to begin changing and taking photos for the groomsmen and family, there was nobody from JW around to assist, help, or answer questions. I'm going to speed through this because there's like a lot. We didn't necessarily need anything specifically, but we did want someone to check in to make sure we were on schedule and provide a roadmap for the next hour or two before things started. Just felt like we were alone on an island with nobody to guide us with what to do to make sure we were on time, etc. I felt like I had to do way too much organizing and logistic coordination from 2 p.m. to 4:45 p.m.
What? Yeah. Okay. Was that a 2-hour and 45-minute window of them getting ready?
Yep. And taking photos with a photographer.
Okay. So yeah, that's again, the couple not understanding that part of the day, it would be really weird for your wedding planning team to be in the room, like dressing you. I don't know why you would really want your wedding planner there for that. That's kind of like your moment. Maybe you have like a family member helping you. That's a little beyond the call duty here. And then with the photographer, yeah, you're not following the photographer around. Generally, I'd say if you had provided some sort of wedding day timeline to them and they knew when and where they were supposed to be, then that's the guidance and that's it.
Yeah. And I do know from my mom who ran the event, she went to check in on them and say, no, you're good. Just sit tight, relax. The photographer will come get you when it's time. Mm-hmm. And he was already quite anxious. So that was one of the flags that we had seen throughout the day that it's almost like I knew an email like this was coming. I knew something like this was coming because his anxiety was already through the roof. So he was instructed to just chill.
Yeah.
They were checked in on, but it does sound again like they were expecting a lot more of a hands-on nature. So whether it's because they completely misunderstood my services, which I'm leaning on that end, because or I just didn't explain myself well. We never promised to have someone there as an attendant for either one of them.
Yeah.
So our big takeaway is learning how to really communicate that more effectively in that moment with that person, with that bride, with that groom, with that couple, to say, I know that it's really high energy right now. I know it's really stressful, but we have allotted the next 2 hours for you to relax with your wedding party, and the photographer will be in charge of you. To basically be like, I have nothing for you right now. Someone else will tell you what to do. It's a way of like CYA, but also making sure that they feel settled because there's a purpose for what they're doing.
Yeah. And I can see that that anxiousness certainly would make it difficult if the couple is like either of the folks are really on edge and they feel like, what am I supposed to be doing? But, and that instruction of relax and sit here isn't really working for them. But yeah, there is a part of the wedding day that's just them kind of waiting. And yeah, they definitely misunderstood what they wanted. Attendance really is what it's saying for both members of the couple, wanted to be attended to and have someone kind of just supporting them all day long, which I'm sure they didn't pay for if it was early in your business. They were not paying enough for that.
And we're still not that business, and we're not going to be that business. I'm okay with that. Like we maintain affordability and professionalism and like try to combine all the best aspects to make sure that we fit a decent amount of budgets, but we will never be those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't even think in my mind what that would be like to just stand in the corner of the room as the couple that I don't know that well is like getting ready for this huge moment, just being like, hi, still here. Just have my earbud in and I'm listening. Another room, they're setting stuff up, just if you wanted to know. Like that's all. Yeah. I don't know what else you'd have to tell them. Like they're putting the votives on the table now.
Yeah.
Got another hour to wait. So I'll just stand here awkwardly.
I think it was more they wanted someone outside the door.
That makes more sense. But I'm just imagining being in the room and being like, that'd be so awkward.
Oh, it just was like, how do we get so off base? How did that happen? That you would just think that someone would be standing there waiting to answer every question, especially when it had been clarified that we would be doing other things like setting up your event, like communicating with vendors. We cannot be available for you. We'll check in with you, but there's nothing for you to be doing other than listening to the professional that's taking care of you right now.
Yeah. And realistically, on a wedding day as a planner, you don't sit still. You're like zooming around the room, checking in over here, checking in over here. So it's like maybe every 30 minutes you pop in the room and you're like, you good in here? Okay, cool. Bye. That's about all you need. Anyone need like a emergency safety pin or something?
Yep.
Nope. All right. Bye then.
Everyone's still breathing? Cool. Everyone has their shoes. Great. See you in like an hour and a half.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay. Point three. What do they got?
Point three, efficient mic check. Similar to above, nobody from JW took a leadership role in making sure our officiant got situated with his microphone. He was a groomsman for photos and dressing and also an usher as guests arrived. Therefore, there was only a little time window for him to get sound checked by the AV guys. I kept asking for someone from JW to come assist with this. It wasn't until about 15 minutes before guests started arriving that the lead planner came over to him to go do this. She did not seem to know why she was there or what he needed for, and she said she'd handle it and take him to the DJ. I had to correct her and say, not the DJ inside, the AV guys outside. I honestly feel that if I was not super adamant and persistent with making sure he got situated, that 5 p.m. would have rolled around and Greg would not have been mic'd up and we would have not had him ready to begin the show. I initiated the request for him to be ready and kept asking until it was completed, which was much too close to the start for comfort. So at 4 o'clock, he's getting mic'd up.
That's excessively early.
Yes. I mean, how many times have you seen an officiant mic'd up like 5 minutes before the ceremony?
Well, I get here, it wasn't a professional officiant. So they are.
Oh, likely, we'll get some more.
Yeah.
Of that
I'm like,
later.
So there's the fact that that person doesn't know what is normal. And so they're coming from a skewed perspective. But yes, a professional officiant, like, they straight up show up like 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes before. Like some of them are earlier, hang out for a little bit, get settled. But I've definitely worked with plenty who are like, no, no, I'll just get in there real quick, run the ceremony and then leave. And they don't need any guidance or help and they know I go to the person with the equipment and they set me up and that's all I'm doing. And you are not involved as the wedding planner, but still the fact that they were worried and thought it was behind schedule an hour before. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was probably very torturous for your poor mother getting hounded that far in advance about, let's get a mic on this guy.
Yeah.
Like, this is okay.
All Which especially is because that's something we don't do.
Right. Yeah.
And we tell them, hey, go get your mic from that guy if we need to. But for the most part, we don't do it.
Yeah. That shouldn't have had to involve anyone from the wedding planning side of things. Yeah. This, it definitely shows the friender situation.
Yeah. And what we could have done in this situation, because I'll do my best to just try to like talk through if this happened to me now, what would I do?
Right.
I would have said, you know, that actually doesn't fall under our job description necessarily, but I'd be more than happy to walk him over to whomever he needs to go to make sure he's mic'd up. But it's not our job to make sure that he is. Mm-hmm. I would have found a nice, polite way of being like, sure, absolutely. That's going to take away from what I'm currently doing. Again, I would not phrase it like that. But some sort of way of what you're asking is outside of our jurisdiction, basically. Yeah. Walking your officiant over, perfectly fine. But if you know where he needed to go, why didn't you just send him? Why don't you just point in that direction? It didn't need to be us that walked him over. And that's also what I could have said in that moment if I was there or should that happen again. Absolutely. Do you happen to know where they are? Because if you want to, you can just point them that direction and kind of remove the responsibility from us. Because again, this is an expectation that we never set. We never promised. It's an hour before the ceremony begins. We're okay. And it's a lot of emotional management, I think.
Yeah. I think it's, again, showing the anxiety level of the couple that they were so worried about this. They kind of brought in a wedding planning team, but didn't let go of the mental load of trying to manage everything. And we're kind of trying to backseat drive. So I think the other thing that could have been said is, oh, I understand you're really worried about this. Generally, the AV team will be thinking about this about 30 minutes or less before. Because, you know, if we have your friend mic'd up on a wireless mic, you know, that weird things can happen. If they're just walking around with a mic on as your audience is sitting down. Like realistically, like some awkward things could have happened if that guy had a hot mic situation. So yeah, you don't need a mic that early. And it's not that complicated of a process. If they've already tested the mic, they know it's ready. You know, you just add it, clip it on when you're ready to go. So
we interrupt this podcast because there is something extremely special that I want to share with you guys. I don't know about you, but for the last who knows how many years, I've been using a Frankensteined, Googled, copied and pasted contract. And while that is extremely embarrassing to admit to all of our listeners, I know that there are people out there who feel the same as I do. And there were a couple things that kept me from actually getting an attorney drafted contract. Actually, no, there was one thing. It was so expensive and it seemed so out of reach. That's when I learned about Legally Set. You see, Coonby with Legally Set has created industry-specific contracts for people like you and me working in the wedding industry. They're easy to customize. They're drafted by an actual attorney and not Googled. Can you imagine that? And last but not least, they are so extremely affordable. So if you were like me and maybe using a less than appropriate and or legal contract, it's time to step up your game. You have no more excuses. Head on over to theunionpodcast.com/legallyset to check them out.
All right, Jamie, these feedback points are just out there. Sorry, go ahead.
And before we hit the next point, funny little aside. Both my parents have done conferences and things like that. Pretty sure it was my mom who did this. It might have been my dad. Pretty sure it was my mom. She had a mic pack on her and went to go to the bathroom.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Forgot the battery pack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
So there's, and that's with an experienced speaker.
Right.
An experienced public speaker still, you know, basically dumped her mic pack into the toilet. So there's also that extra layer of if they don't know what they're doing, we don't want to trust them with a several hundred dollar piece of machinery and just let them wander off and maybe accidentally dookie on top of it. Like there's reasons that it doesn't happen an hour beforehand. So that could have been explained as well. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Just letting them know, like, this isn't going to be a good decision. And we've already tested the mic. We know it's ready to go. So when the time comes, we will let you know you're ready. But again, it just seemed like there was a little power struggle here.
Yeah.
Between them kind of wanting to run the show still and having your team, like trusting your team was actually doing it. Okay. What do they got next? Let's hear it.
Groomsmen walk to meetup spot at 4:45. Basically, there was no guidance from JW on the route we should take to meet up with the bridal party for the ceremony entrance or when we should leave, etc. There's nobody to guide us. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to scoot forward because this, again, it's, all of these are so lengthy. I was just about to open the door to the holding spot she was in, the bride, to go to the bathroom at about 4:55 p.m. before my mom noticed and screamed at me not to. Had it not been for my mom's last minute shout, I was seconds away from walking in on the bride, literally less than 5 minutes before the show started. So here's the deal with this specific venue. There are about 82 different ways that you can walk. Mm-hmm. And if there was a lack of direction, I totally get that. Perhaps one of my gals had taken a different route to go find them and they miss each other in passing. We've already seen on a couple of comments that we knew that the groom was very anxious. Mm-hmm. And likely would take matters into his own hands before being told it is time. So that's what I infer kind of between reading the lines. The only thing that we could have done better in this situation is had someone picked up on the fact that he was antsy, get to him sooner.
Right.
Make sure he doesn't walk that direction. But again, my guess here is that they started, because again, he's citing that they weren't picked up at the right time or told to start moving at the right time. He almost walked in on her. So I also think that this stuff just happens.
Yeah.
It totally just happens.
It does seem, again, that anxious nature got to them because generally I don't have the couple move around right before the ceremony. I'm like, stay where you are. Someone will come get you. Yeah. And yes, it may be a couple minutes later than the time we told you will be there. There's a good reason. So just stay still. Don't start going wandering around because we may be going and getting your future spouse and moving them around. And then that's why we don't want you leaving the space that you're in. Yep. So it just seems like, again, they jumped ahead trying to force the situation and go, oh, it's the time. We got to go to this spot. And they didn't wait. And maybe your team was going over there to lead them the correct route. And they didn't, you know, they kind of got ahead of that. So yeah. I think picking up on that anxiety earlier, like an anxious sort of couple, is really one of the big lessons here with this list.
And yes.
We're like not even halfway through.
No, we're about to hit 0.5.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Okay. And I can just imagine this hitting with those postpartum hormones that it would have just been like such an epic emotional moment for you. But like looking at it now, you're just like, what is this craziness? Like, yes, lessons to be learned here, but also this couple seems a little bit over the top. And like they were kind of causing the problems repeatedly.
Yeah. It felt as though he was looking for problems to put in this list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just wait. It gets better.
Okay. I'm sure. I'm like, if this is halfway through and it's already feeling pretty much.
The ceremony hasn't even started yet. And these are all the complaints we have.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go. What's next?
Processional. There did not seem to be much coordination on when we went. It was almost like we just went when we were ready. There should have been a last minute reminder of pauses and when to go and how to stand, etc. Although this was practiced at the rehearsal, it would have been nice to have some last minute reminder coaching. This was not as much of an issue as the previous comments were, more of just a thought. But it is consistent with the theme that it seemed like nobody was really running the show and we were kind of just going on our own.
Okay, this is a tough one to me because I think every single couple has different feelings on how much they want that coaching. Hmm. Like, you know, as I'm cueing people to go and the timing of them walking out for a ceremony, I'll remind them like, smile, you know, take your time, those sort of things. But like, if I'm sitting there and like correcting their posture and stuff, it could be like way overly annoying to a lot of people. So I don't know here. And I don't know what obviously their expectations were different than what happened. But for a lot of people, they wouldn't want that much. I don't know. What are you thinking looking back on this topic?
Looking back on this one, we had a very comprehensive rehearsal. So as I'm sure you can imagine, you're kind of picking up on the personalities here. I went to the rehearsal. Mm-hmm. I was physically present at the rehearsal and helped run it. I couldn't stand the whole time. I had to go sit down because I was obviously in pain after having the baby, but I was like, they were important. I wanted to be there and I was just nervous. So we walked through this more than I ever have at any other event. So if there was ever an event that they should have known what to do, it was the one that we practiced like 4 times. So for me, it was this one I just kind of wanted to laugh at because I was like, if everyone had forgotten how detailed we were yesterday and needed to be reminded about how to stand, where to place their hands, then why did we do yesterday? Yesterday was highly effective. I don't feel as though that was necessary.
Yeah.
They were cued when to walk. It's not like they just started walking. There was pacing. They were cued. It just wasn't that last minute coaching that in my opinion is extremely distracting.
Yeah, it can be.
And the wedding party's halfway listening to you. So it doesn't even matter. And then they'd be like, what? Sure. What did I miss? And then be stressed because they felt like they missed new direction.
Right.
Yeah. In my opinion, that's why we do the rehearsal. We do not need to be going all of those last minute. Don't forget, hold your hands like this. Like they're adults.
Yeah. The only people, that's exactly the point I was going to say, is the children. Is like smile, walk down the aisle, you go to Uncle Freddie, then you go sit with mama. Okay. Let's review because you're little. We want to get it right. So generally, like as the last few adults, folks are walking down the aisle, I'll go and give a little quick recap to the kids. And even them, half the time, if they're, you know, older than 5 or 6, they're like, okay, lady, like they told me this yesterday. I'm not stupid. I'm a big kid. And I'm like, okay, I know, I'm sorry, but I just wanted to recap.
just need a bit. I've seen some things, so I just need to make sure. Yeah. But yeah, it can come across as patronizing. So
for sure.
I mean, I can understand feeling like they're flailing or feeling like they're not being directed. They were being directed. They were being cued. It just was a quiet, subtle, go. And it just wasn't, it didn't feel sufficient. And sometimes people ignore us and sometimes they just walk before they're told to. So there's a lot of factors that could be in play here and none of which I own.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing is as the coordinator, at least when I'm ever running a ceremony, I try to be invisible.
Yes.
So I try to be hiding out of any camera angle. So it's not like I can go over and start like moving their hands up to where they should be or in any way kind of getting close to them. So there's also a limited amount. And like you said, trying to be quiet because you don't want to be like coaching them loudly. You know, it has to all be very subtle, as you mentioned. That's why you have the rehearsal. Again, that was the point of that time.
Yeah, precisely. It was interesting. Which leads us to the next one, which is fluffing the dress.
Oh.
Nobody did it for the bride at her pause before walking down the aisle, and nobody reminded the maid of honor to do it before she walked back at the end. This is a minor complaint in comparison to the others, but something we thought should have been coordinated better. It's not necessarily JW's fault, but it kind of highlights how small, nuanced type things were not captured, reminded, or explained. So I'm going to give some backstory to this. We tried to fluff the dress.
Okay.
The photographer grabbed our assistant's arm, like the intern for the event, and yanked her out of the way and said, "Get out of my shot."
Mm.
We've never had a photographer talk to us like that.
Okay. Wow.
It was like, holy smokes. Okay. We can't. There's nothing we can do. We can't. All right. We're not fluffing it. She was going to get it. The photographer grabbed her and pulled her back. And of course, over the years, the voice may have gotten more aggressive with time. So let's take all that with a grain of salt. Because again, I wasn't there. So she might have been like, hey, get out of my shot. It could have been kinder, but it has more impact if you tell the story with aggression.
Right. It was very mean.
Oh, you know. Foul. But even if it was the nicest way, we could not have done anything. Yeah. And we practiced the maid of honor doing that at the rehearsal.
Yeah.
It was one of those, she forgot, that's not on us. If we had to remind everybody of all their duties and all their responsibilities, we would never be able to coordinate your wedding.
Yeah.
Because we're reminding people things that we already told them to do. And sure, we do that all the time anyways, but to be that nitpicky and that specific, that doesn't work. We will be highly ineffective.
Yeah. And there's a reality that when the whole wedding party is up front and the ceremony is happening, you can't do a lot as the wedding planner. There have been weird things that happen in the middle of ceremonies. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could like crawl up there and fix it. But like, that's going to make this exceptionally awkward. So I'm just going to stand here and wish I could somehow invisibly go up there and fix whatever weird thing's happening. So that's one of those things where your team probably noticed like, oh, she missed the dress fluff. But it's like, what are you going to do at that point? Like try to hold up a cue card so that the matron of honor sees it from the back. Like there's
fluff the dress.
Yeah.
Like, what are we supposed to do?
You can't do anything.
No.
So yeah. And that's maybe something that could be added to like your rehearsal script of like, remember, when we're live, if you forget one of these things that I'm saying for you to do during the actual live ceremony, I can't remind you. So like you got to keep this one really top of mind because you're on your own.
And I've never had a maid of honor fluff the dress before a bride walks back down the aisle. I've never had that happen.
Oh, that seems complicated.
I've had them organize, like fluff it right when she gets to the top of the aisle.
And that's more what I was thinking.
Okay, right. No, this was for the walk back.
Oh, yeah. That's like almost too chaotic because if they're doing their first kiss and then they're turning and then
they're being announced, but then they have to pause for the dress to be fluffed and then go. Yeah. It adds that extra layer.
I wouldn't like that. And honestly, it would probably be confusing to the guests who are like standing up and cheering. And then it's like, hold on.
Why aren't you walking?
Yeah. And then the photographer would have yelled again. I'm certain. Very mean that time.
Absolutely positive.
Okay. Right. Now what do we got? What are we looking at here, Jane?
We're on seven, guys. We're making it through. I hope you're taking notes, and I hope you're learning a lot from this experience. Seven, cocktail hour. As you're aware, the cocktail hour is quite a walk from the ceremony and confusing for people who don't know the venue well. It did not seem like the people knew where to go, and many lingered on the ceremony lawn well into photos. There should have been much better guidance and direction from JW reps to the guests on where to go. There was signage that helped, but somebody should have guided the guests to the first portion of the way until they could see where they were going. Our groomsmen had to help guide the guests to cocktail hour as family took photos.
Okay. Where was this venue?
It's a hotel in La Jolla.
Okay. So
I forget which one. I've blocked it out of my memory.
I mean, there is only so much you can do.
Right.
There's also the reality of the shift of responsibilities when you're going from ceremony to reception for the wedding planning team to like get everything set up and the final touches. So having someone available to like go and just like usher guests across the whole estate or hotel or whatever the situation is, isn't really, you know, part of it. Also, maybe the people just wanted to hang out on the lawn. Like,
yeah.
That's the other awkward thing when you're a wedding planner. You can't just walk up to people having a conversation and be like, hi, you need to move because no reason at all, really, but just the couple wants you in the other space.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you have to do that, like weddings with a flip, and you're like, I'm sorry, you're going to get crushed with furniture. So you need to move. And then in that case, I'll normally say something funny. Like, oh, we're going to have to move a bunch of furniture and I don't want to have to bother you to help pick something up. So you guys better go over and just get yourself a drink. And they're like, okay, you're weird, but we'll go do that. But for no reason, like there was no reason they urgently needed to go to the other space. If they were having fun and chit-chatting, like that's great. They're having a good time.
And the venue specifically said they would place out the signs. This was a concern that the couple had had early on.
Yeah.
How will our guests know to get from point A to point B? And I had specifically shared, that's a great question because that's not something that we can help with. Our staff will be doing other things. We had this exact conversation and the groomsmen aren't doing anything else. I'm glad the groomsmen stepped up to do that.
Yeah.
We had three people there. There is no physical possible way that we would have been able to help move people from point A to point B. We did a little bit of ushering. I know that they tried, but also they had the reception to go set up. They had other things they had to go do. We could not stand there like with Mickey Mouse hands directing people to go to the next area. Yeah. That responsibility was on the venue. We already discussed this with the venue. So the fact that it made it onto this list was like, I feel like you're just looking for things to be mad about.
Yeah.
We can't sign up to be directors like that. You would have to pay so much money to have a staff that is capable of doing that.
Yeah, I feel like they're just really looking almost at like the guest facing or the client facing interactions at this wedding, things that they were actually could see, you know, or in their line of sight, where really as a wedding planner, you're doing 90%+ of the stuff is completely not seen as you're doing it. You're discreetly doing things, you're setting up, you're meeting with the vendors and organizing things as far as where they're setting up. Like none of that is visible to the client. None of that's visible to the guests and it shouldn't be, but they're kind of judging it all in these weird little minute moments that were visible to them, but are not necessarily things you could control or really your responsibility.
Yeah.
And, but it is stuff that they could see and maybe they didn't like how it was, but that doesn't make it your problem.
Precisely. And this is, I'm so grateful for this email. Like, and there's still more to come, obviously, but this is one of the ones where I was like, you have to communicate so extremely effectively. Otherwise, people will always assume it's the wedding planner's fault.
Yeah.
They will.
You're the catch-all.
You are the wedding planner. You plan the things. And if the things don't go to plan, then it must be your fault.
Right.
And so our line is like, it may not be our job, but it's our responsibility. Yeah. So none of these, so far, none of the things listed have been our job, but it's our responsibility to do our best to make sure it goes successfully, even if it falls under someone else's purview.
Yeah.
But a lot of these things, we did the best that we could, and we handled the responsibility in the best way that we could.
Okay. What else they have?
Grand entrance/lineup to reception. When we were finally ready to enter the ballroom for the grand entrance, there was zero coordination between the wedding planners and the bridal party and the guests. Guests kept walking in and out to go to the bathroom or smoke, and they would see us. We had no ability to contain them inside and had to keep stalling our entrance as they would come out in masses. There was no initiative taken by JW to get us in line or keep guests inside. I finally had my brother go in and tell people to stop coming outside. And we had to bring our DJ outside to tell him to make an announcement that we'd be coming in. He then voiced he was upset. The day of planner did not seem to know much of what was going on, and he said he would start taking control of the night's events and timeline. Hmm. The entrance ended being fine, but it honestly took 10 to 15 agonizing minutes to contain people and make sure they were ready for us as we just stood outside. We entered the room much later than the timeline suggested, despite being there perfectly on time.
Okay.
Hmm. So much backstory to this.
Yeah, I'm like, this one seems like they're, what was going on with that DJ?
He showed up 15 to 30 minutes late.
Okay.
Was very dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
Would not respond directly to questions. My mom had continuously gone up and said, hey, how much longer till you're set up? And at one point, like, this is a level of petty that I don't know if I would do, but like, props to her for doing it. He was like, 10 minutes. So she put a timer on her phone.
Wow. Okay. So,
basically, but to show the character of the DJ we were working with, he was snippy. He wasn't responding to questions. He was late. Yeah. He was taking forever to set up. He wasn't doing the role that we needed him to be doing. So it would make sense that he would be frustrated with her because she was on him because he wasn't doing his job well.
Yeah.
I probably would have handled it differently. I do not like personally how it was handled. I mean, it's petty. I'm going to put a timer on you. However, that just goes to show what we were dealing with.
Yeah.
Also, I spoke with her at length about this. She's like, we kept trying to get people to come inside and we tried to get the DJ to make an announcement. He wasn't ready.
Okay. Because I was going to say, this whole situation didn't seem like it was a coordination issue as much as a DJ issue because it should have been announced, everyone, we're going to do the grand entrance, sit your butt in your chair and don't move. Don't move.
Yeah.
And if you need to smoke, not now.
Yeah. And when the brother basically was helping out, he was yelling at people to get their asses inside. It was chaotic and it was angry and it was, all three of my staff members were standing there with saucers for eyeballs. Like, oh my gosh, we're trying to get people to go inside. We're trying. We're very much trying to get this done. The DJ's not ready. We're scrambling. It's like those nightmares where you're running in mud up a hill and you can't go anywhere. That is literally what this moment felt like for them.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, what could we have done better? I don't know. Hired a bit different DJ. Like, there's very little that we could have done to make this better other than perhaps going to this anxious person that we already knew was troubled throughout the day and saying, we are doing our best. All the guests keep coming out and the DJ is not quite ready yet. So we need to give it another 5 minutes or so. Should we relocate you to another spot until he's ready so you're not standing here watching all this? That's what I would have done differently. But it wasn't a coordination issue. It was most assuredly a DJ one.
Yeah. And I mean, you could have probably, if you had three people on the team, someone could have gone over to the DJ and said, how long until you're ready? Like really directly nailed down stuff with him inside and came back and relayed the info to the wedding party. You can't really like lock the doors on guests if they're going to the bathroom. Like that just seems weird. But I mean, making the announcement and going, they're going to have the grand entrance. Then unless it was a very urgent issue, your guests are probably going to respect that and sit still. But I would feel very weird of being like, we're barring the doors. Like don't go anywhere, which seems like what they wanted you to do.
And I'm almost positive if I remember correctly, obviously it's been a while, they had two bars and both of them were outside in the foyer space.
Oh, okay.
And that's where people kept coming back out to the bars. What we also could have done in this moment is we could have gone to the bartenders and said, hey, we're about to do the grand entrance. Please stop serving for the next 5-10 minutes so we can make that happen and then you can serve again. And then I would be the person to tell people online, hey guys, I'm so sorry. We got the couple waiting. We're going to do the grand entrance. You can come back and get your drink in just a few. I guarantee you will get those people that are like, well, can I just get my drink real fast? And you're like, you're missing the point. Whatever, pick your battles. It's fine. But get that shutdown to happen at the bar so people stop flocking to it.
Right.
So that was the big issue of people coming outside. I don't think people were going outside in droves to smoke. This was a very fancy, it was a black tie wedding.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was the bar. Yeah. The bar location can cause those sort of problems. So it definitely seems like that was the culprit. That plus the DJ was a bit of a mess, but also kind of the couple being overly picky. Cause had the DJ just started announcing that they were coming in, the people who are wandering around outside would probably just stood still and watched from there and been like, oh, I guess I should have stayed by my seat.
Yeah.
Since we just entered the reception. But you know, I think it could have just been, you just flow through that moment, but it, with the anxiety and the DJ being grumpy and the bar attracting people like moths to a flame, it's adding up to a bad situation.
I agree. I was one of those, but there's, I mean, and then the yelling.
Oh, the yelling
brother.
Help.
I was like, oh my gosh, hearing how that went down afterwards, I just felt like, oh, at least it was not a member of my team. Okay. we were doing our best to do it politely. At least it wasn't a member of my team.
Yeah. At least your mom didn't resort to being like, hey, put your butts in your seats. That would have been a real special moment.
Yeah. If she busted out her mom voice.
Yeah.
Or started snapping.
That might have worked.
My mom was a snapper. And she's like, wanted to get our attention. Like,
oh, I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. Snapping.
Yeah. I remember my mom was on the phone once with a girlfriend, total aside, but this is totally worth it. And we must have been fighting in the background. And so she goes to get our attention. Mm-hmm. And her friend goes, I hear you snapping.
She knew what it meant.
To this day, that is like a running joke in our family. Like if, you know, you cover the mic to yell at a kid for a second, my mom will go, I hear you snapping. We may not even physically be snapping anymore, but yeah, it's a good, that's what my mom would have done. She would have been like, attention, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Everyone focus here.
We're almost done.
We're almost done.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
These folks had a lot to say.
They did. Number 9, guest book. Nobody really signed our Mad Lib style guest book. We don't know if this was because of its placement or signage and our fault, or really anybody guiding them to it. Not sure what could have been done better, or if this is even a JW responsibility, but it seems like we should have had more than 18 people do it. It's not a huge complaint. However, it seemed similar to number 6 about the dress fluffing. It seemed like the little nuance type stuff was not captured or addressed.
Okay, guest books are definitely not your problem to make people sign.
Nope.
I'll start by saying that. I have had this happen at weddings where literally no one is signed a guest book and the wedding happened to be very calm and not a lot going on. So I did take it upon myself to have the DJ make extra announcements because I noticed it and literally carried the guest book around to tables at one wedding because it was a Chinese American wedding and most of the guests did not speak English. So they didn't understand their signage anyway. So I had someone from the wedding party who spoke Chinese walk with me to tell them, this is a book you sign. In the culture here, this is part of the wedding. So please sign your name, you know, and like, it was a whole thing, but that is not my problem and was not necessary, but I was just really, really working hard
because,
you know, I could have gone and sat down in the back room because everything was calm, but instead I did that. So that's all to say, not your problem.
We'll do that.
Not your problem.
Yeah. I mean, it was placed in the foyer. Near the bars, we anticipate it being a high traffic area, but in the grand scheme of things, barely anybody touches your guest book.
Yeah.
Like people get a guest book because they want one. That doesn't mean it's going to be used. It doesn't. Usually I'd say anything at 50% or above is a miracle.
Yeah.
Unless it is passed around or brought around with a translator to everybody's table, the likelihood of a guest book being really well filled out is slim to none. So as planners or potential planners, that is something really important to tuck into your back pocket. I don't lead with that. I don't tell clients like, oh, nobody's going to sign that because the clients want it.
Yeah.
And they think it's special and it's a tradition and they really enjoy it. You don't want to crush their spirits, their hopes, their dreams and be like, yeah, nobody's going to sign that crap. However, it is, if it does come up or the conversation does happen beforehand, you can say, well, sometimes, oh, never mind. Here's what I say. Sometimes it's really difficult to get guests to sign the guest book. So we like to put it in a highly trafficked area with a very noticeable sign to encourage as many people to sign it as possible. And if we hit 50%, I call that a win. So it's a way of setting mm-hmm. them up beforehand with the right perspective and with the right
expectation.
The right expectation of this is hard.
Yeah.
People don't touch this. And I didn't learn until I got through a few events like this.
Yeah. And I mean, the couple, it's kind of honestly how it goes with gifts too, is a lot of couples are like, I've had people say, I don't know. I think we might've been robbed and some of the gifts got taken because we didn't get gifts from 10 of our guests. And I'm like, no, you just didn't get gifts from 10 of your guests. Because that's what happens is there are people who come to weddings and don't think they need gifts or like, oh, you have that 1 year to send it. So I'll get around to it. And then they don't, or they're your cousin who thinks, oh, my mom gave a gift. Yeah. So I'm with my mom's gift, even though I'm 30, you know, it's like,
or they're broke.
Yeah. They're broke.
And they just show up because yeah. they need a meal. And yeah. they want to celebrate you. I mean, yeah, there's tons of options like that.
And then they're not obligated to give a gift. But just like the guest book is awkward for some people to sign. Like, yeah. I know my husband has never signed a guest book at a wedding. He goes, Heather, you sign that for me. Just write my name. He's like, I don't know what to say. And I'm like, what do you think you say?
Congratulations. We love you. Good luck.
This isn't complicated. I don't know. You're not having to come up with something creative. I just, we're happy for you. Have a great life together. We love you. Yeah, that's it. But anyway. That's not your problem. And that's honestly not even a problem. It's just them learning the reality of how a guest book goes.
Yeah. I love that it was, you know, it may not be your responsibility. It's not that important. And yet it had to be included in a big, long 17 paragraph email. Like we had to devote time and space to this. It was big. It was important. They were bummed by that. And they were assigning their responsibility to us, even though they said it may not have been your responsibility.
Right.
It still felt very much like you screwed this up. And that may be my threeness talking, but also I wouldn't have included it on the list unless I wanted to blame that person for it as well.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, you have to get like a guest book usher. Is that what it's called?
If you really want
attendant, yeah, to get someone to like hassle people. And realistically, that's normally like an honorary role and the person doesn't really want to stand there by your guest.
Usually like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want them to feel honored. So you could just give them this role. They last for about 20 minutes and then it doesn't happen for the rest of the night.
Yeah. And then they're like, this is boring.
Yeah. Because it's boring.
Go do something else. Yeah. Not stand here and be like, hey, do you want to sign the guest book?
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. So we're at
last one.
We got one more. Okay. Well, they're really stretching at this point. They're reaching. Yeah.
This is the best one.
Okay.
This one we have told and retold. Oh. This is the reason why we are not involved with marriage licenses
at
all whatsoever. Okay. Because they are legally binding documents.
Right.
Number 10, marriage license. The city we got married in is La Jolla, California. I met with you at that venue like multiple times, I'm aware.
Right.
Our license filled out by our officiant and witness said the marriage was Torrey Pines. Torrey Pines is not a city. Our fear is that the state would not have accepted the form, sent it back, and caused issues, especially with the 10-day deadline. I asked the officiant why he wrote that, and he said the planner told him to. I'm assuming this was the lead planner, your mom. We crossed it out today, wrote La Jolla, but we are now worried it may cause some issues. We are very concerned with this. Hopefully it's fine. I don't believe we are the only Californians to ever make an edit on the form, but it's not something we want to really deal with one way or another. We are uneasy about this. You ready for the backstory?
Oh my goodness. Okay, go ahead with the backstory.
We had trouble with the officiant before the ceremony even started because he was toasted off his ends.
Oh dear. Okay. Well, maybe that's why it was, the mic guy. Okay, we're back to that situation.
The guy with the mic, the guy that we're getting set up with a microphone early. The whole reason that my mom's like, why are we miking? Oh, he's going, okay. He actually went over on the ceremony. He talked
that
for
so happens.
Long. That never happens.
Especially for an inexperienced person.
Especially for an inexperienced, inebriated person.
Wow. Okay.
So he had already had a few. And that's fine. He was enjoying himself. Cool. He had a responsibility that day, though.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about the officiant and brother, they're both drunk, yelling around to them, hey, what city are we in? What city are we in? My mom happened to be the person that pulls out her phone, looks at her weather app, and it says Torrey Pines. Mm-hmm. She's like, I think we're in Torrey Pines, and puts it back in her pocket.
Mm-hmm.
They are drunk, yelling at people, asking where we are. And that's when she said that. And so, I mean, we joke about it to this day. We're like, we don't tell locations. Like, I don't know, Google it. We just don't touch it because of how bent out of shape they got about this.
Yeah. Wow.
There was no credit given to the fact that the officiant was completely gone, just toasted, just gone. So for that one, I'm like, that is the reason we don't touch them. We don't touch them. We don't give advice. We don't give commentary. No.
Okay. That is a weird situation. I'm imagining it worked out. They're legally married.
I'm assuming that they got it figured out. I don't think that because the drunk officiant wrote down the wrong city or unincorporated area that my mother so happened to tell him in passing prevented them from being legally married. Yes.
Yeah. I can't imagine that doesn't happen on marriage license often because I'm like, that has to get goofed up or the witnesses sign on the wrong line or something weird happens. But it's like, it's okay. It's not the end of the world.
No. like perspective wise, it's not a big deal. Mistakes happen all the time. I used to work in a church office and one of the pastors wrote the wrong thing and had to have it redone and it was fine.
Yeah. But ultimately, that's so not your guys' responsibility.
No.
At all.
No.
Okay. So this was your favorite client of all time, I'm guessing.
All time. Which is sad because we actually were really close beforehand.
Oh, that is sad.
So this for me was like, I knew that this was written more by him because this was a meeting where I gave her like 10 meetings. I worked with her for a year and a half. Like I specifically came to her rehearsal so I could be near her. And we had a moment where like I prayed over her before because I was like, I'm so sorry that I can't be here. But I'm crying holding her. Like, I'm so sorry I can't be there tomorrow. So to get this email, I was like, that sucks.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the entire email though, was when they said, they gave me a couple of alternatives of what they should have done when they found out I was pregnant. They should have demanded a refund and gone to a different planner or immediately transitioned to a new planner on our staff, which we did attempt to do. And then that planner literally left the team. And I was like, great. Okay. That's fine. I will stay with you and Robin will run day of. Mm-hmm. Another alternative would have been for you to be there on the day, even if you were just on a bench and delegating from afar.
I don't know that you could have really changed a lot of those things from a bench. And also, why?
Shove a human out of your body and then sit on a bench.
It doesn't sound fun.
You can't sit on anything.
Yeah.
You can't sit on anything for the first 3 to 4 weeks. So getting that, I was like, oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a learning perspective. Yeah. There's no way that is nonsensical.
Yeah. I mean, even this point right here, if you're a wedding planner and you are a female and might at some point decide to have a child, I would really learn from this lesson.
Yeah.
Because that is something to consider of the options they even mentioned of like, how do you handle that?
Yeah.
And what boundaries, what window do you block off for giving birth and for recovery and just for the flexibility that you could give birth 6 weeks early, like, and planning for that, because it is hard to hand off a project at the last minute. But at the same time, all of these complaints seem to come from a point of them not totally trusting your mom,
yeah,
and really wanting you to be there. And I wonder if they would have had the same critique had you been there.
Or I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it would have been different and they would have had the trust in you, so they wouldn't have meddled into certain things that would have kind of spiraled into the problems they saw.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, man, anytime a client's disappointed, it's so heartbreaking. It's so gut-wrenching because it's this day that they've built a lot up in their mind and they spent a lot of money on and they've put a lot of trust into you to make this happen. And so anytime a client's disappointed, of course that gets you. Mm-hmm. I think what's important as a business person though is to take a step back and look at it from the perspective of, could I have fixed anything? Could I do anything better? And I do highly recommend that after each event, you ask yourself those questions, especially if you have a sounding board that you can talk to, someone that you can go to and be like, your assistant for the day, whoever you were working with, having that communication with them, because that's how we learn. And then my biggest takeaway is, how do I spot this type of personality sooner so we don't book with them? That has been my biggest takeaway. I am not the bride for, or I'm not the planner for someone who's obscenely type A and needs me to handle every single detail.
Mm-hmm.
One, that's not what I charge for. And two, that's not my gift.
Right.
So I need to learn to spot people who need that from a wedding planner and direct them in another direction early.
Yeah.
That was my biggest takeaway. Cause all of these are like, these were not my job description. I could have effectively communicated these a little bit better. Yes. And I will take my learning and I will move forward with that. But also, I was not the right planner for him. Maybe for her, but definitely not for him.
Yeah. And I think that is an important takeaway. And then also just the pre-booking communication of the boundaries. And I think you've vastly improved what you share and the boundaries you put in place since this point. And I think that's the lesson as you keep working in this industry of, oop, that didn't work out well. Got to put a boundary there. Oop, this isn't something I'm going to cover. I need to explicitly say that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the image of what a wedding planner does can vary wildly to couples. And if you don't really lay out what you provide, you may not meet their expectations because they don't understand what the real, you know, expectations should be. So yeah, that's probably the big lesson for those of you listening is like, you never know what weird version of a wedding planner they're imagining. So make sure you're clear about what your version of a wedding planner is.
Yes. And then, and the more comfortable you get, you will simplify and you'll explain it really well. But this is something we talk about in the mastermind. What's your why? It's always going to come back to what's your why. It boils down to why you're doing this. What's your purpose? And then it's very easy to say, no, we don't do that. Why? Because we are the type of planners who do this, and that doesn't fall under that job description. That doesn't fall under our purview. So always time for reflection. I mean, and occasionally getting an angry email and figuring out, okay, like how do I figure out how to bounce back from this? Or how do I communicate better ahead of time so we don't even run into this?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I hope you guys learned from Jamie's angry email. And also, you know, Jamie's quite the mythical creature of the wedding industry, you know, a powerhouse. And, you know, we all now know even a powerhouse like Jamie sometimes gets an angry email. So we can all feel a little bit better about ourselves.
Listen, it's a highly emotional business. You're going to piss somebody off. The best thing that you can do is use it as a learning opportunity to make you a better business owner, because that is what is going to make you unstoppable.
Hallelujah.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you've found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag @UnionPodcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.